Welcome to the Accidental Experts Podcast. I'm your host, Bryce Hamilton. I'm a licensed clinical social worker and a child and family therapist. I have been in practice for over 15 years, and I'm also a mom of four. So I know the challenges both professionally and personally. I'm so glad that you're here today to grow your parenting toolbox. Please come as you are and be ready to learn. My goal is to make you the accidental expert so that you can raise healthy humans. Welcome back. I'm so glad that you're with us today. Hopefully you caught our episode last week on connecting to your children. If you happen to miss it, please check our archives to get access to that important information. So today we're going to start this conversation on what special education is. I think there's a lot of mystery around special education and a lot of fear and maybe confusion about who qualifies and what it even is. So today we have an expert, a special education teacher named Kayla Kearney, and she is going to talk to us about the process and who qualifies and how to know if your student is eligible for these services, because we don't want to miss an opportunity to help our students succeed. And let's not let fear hold us back. And today will be important for you to assess, does your student need special education services? Is this something that could benefit them in becoming a healthy human? So without further ado, let's get to Kayla. Welcome, Kayla. We're so glad you're here.
Hi, thanks for having me, Bryce.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's get going on this topic. So talk to me about, what is special education? Like, what does it even mean?
Yeah, special education is essentially when students receive specifically designed instruction at no cost to parents to meet their own unique needs. So students in special education have a variety of different levels of needs, and special education is the place in schools where those needs can be met at an individualized level.
That's so cool. So how does that get started? Like, how do students qualify for this? Or what type of students do they serve? Like, what are the different topics? Let's start with, what are the different things that kids could have going on in their lives that might qualify them for special ed?
Yeah, that's a great question. So one of the first things to know about who is served in special education is the IDEA law, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. And through IDEA, there are 13 different categories in which students can qualify for special education services. So in order for students to be served, they have to meet criteria for one of those categories. So I'll kind of go over the 13 categories really quickly, just kind of so everybody knows what they are.
Yeah.
The first one is intellectual disability. So that would be if you have a lower IQ or lower processing speed. Visual impairments, including blindness, autism spectrum disorder, hearing impairment, deafness, other health impairments can oftentimes be serviced with kids who have ADD, ADHD, epilepsy. Sometimes this can be like different forms of childhood cancer can be serviced in this that category. There's also traumatic brain injury, orthopedic impairment, so any type of physical disability that a student might have, including paralysis. There's emotional disturbance, so any type of behavioral needs, anxiety, OCD, ODD, bipolar. Multiple disabilities. So if you meet more than one of those disabilities categories, you can be listed as multiple disability. There is specific learning disability, which I think in today's world is probably the most common. So dyslexia, dyscalculia, writing disabilities. There's also speech and language impairment. There's this one I think is kind of the coolest. It's the category called deaf blindness. So when students are deaf and they have they're blind as well, there's a whole category just for them. And then the last one that not all states have, but Bryce, we are in Kansas and we do have this category in Kansas, is called developmental delay. And developmental delay is when students are delayed in one or more area and they're below the age of 10, they can qualify for that area of developmental delay.
Can you give me an example of what that would be? Like, so what would be a developmental delay that a student would have?
Yeah. So that might be a child is getting evaluated at school and they're a little bit behind in reading, but they're also, you know, their fine motor skills are maybe a little bit behind their peers too. So at that point, if they're below the age of 10, with a reading deficit and a fine motor deficit, as a team, you might not be able to say what's the exact reason for the disability at that point. So a lot of times by the age of 10, due to the way children's brains develop and progress, there are certain assessments and ways to track data that you can really pinpoint what the actual disability is. So developmental delay can kind of give teams that time to really decipher and work through what the underlying disability is for a child.
Oh, that's really cool. So that means like if we can't quite name it yet, we get kind of this umbrella to say, hey, we know something is happening here, but we can't say exactly what it is yet, but then we can still get services for this kid.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So did we cover all 13? I lost track. Sorry.
We did.
Okay,
so
cool.
13, and then in some states that have developmental delay, it's that 14th category.
Okay.
That is by state law.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So I kind of mentioned this earlier, but how does a student qualify for special education services? So, you know, we just reviewed those 13 things, 14, if you're in certain states that have that additional one. We know what they are now, but how do we get qualified? Like, how does a student become part of the special education department?
Yeah, I think this is one of the most common questions about special education is what is it and how do I get my child in it, or how do kids get put in it? And so I think the baseline to start is that in order for students to qualify, they have to meet criteria for one of those 13 or 14 categories. And on the IDEA website, there's criteria for each disability category that would say, you know, the things you have to meet, kind of like when you're diagnosing anything, right? You have to have certain symptoms or characteristics.
Sure.
So the child would have to meet those. And then they would also have to show that because of their disability, they are requiring specifically designed instruction at school. So there are kids who have ADHD, but they're managing with their own tools or their own, you know, strategies within the classroom, and they're not requiring specifically designed instruction. But on the opposite side, there are kids who have disabilities and they can't manage it on their own. So they need that extra step of having that specifically designed instruction.
So that would, yeah. So what I'm thinking is if a kid, you mentioned ADHD. So let's say that they're a kid who is not able to, let's say in first grade, we're not meeting the reading requirements because first grade is a huge space for learning how to read. So if they're not able to master the phonics or be able to start reading words together, or they're having trouble memorizing some of those sight words, would that be a reason that they might need services?
I would say that would definitely be an indicator of the potential to start looking at special education. And so another big thing about special education to think about is like in a first grade classroom, there's just the one first grade teacher with 20, 24 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so thinking about, you know, that kid with ADHD and he's starting to fall behind with his reading, like can that first grade teacher, can she meet all of his needs in the classroom with those 24 other kids? And when the answer is no, then a lot of times we look at that special education route and what are other ways in our school system or our school supports that we can help this kid to make sure that they don't continue to fall behind.
Yeah, that makes sense. So really it's a support both for the teacher and the student is what special ed is to be able to give them those services within the classroom if possible, but sometimes that's not possible. So then they need additional services. So can kids get services? Like, let's say they don't meet special ed, right? Mm-hmm. Or is it possible for kids to also get supportive services? So they're behind in reading, but like maybe not enough, or math is really hard for them. Can they get support even if they don't meet the criteria for special ed?
Yes. So I would say it is becoming very common in today's education system that schools have designated staff for reading specialists, and a lot of staff schools are also moving to have designated staff for like a math interventionist. And so those are supports and staff members that would be available to any students in the school. So that's what we would call like a universal support.
Mm-hmm.
And so based on, you know, school or district assessments that all students take. So let's say, you know, in first grade, they take a math test or a reading test, you know, beginning of the year, end of the year, middle of the year, end of the year. If a kid flags low or at risk, then that would be a great opportunity for them to start with a reading specialist or a math interventionist. After some prolonged amount of time, like maybe 6 to 8 weeks of daily intervention, if the math specialist or the reading specialist is feeling like it's just not progressing like my other peers are, or there's just something missing still, or maybe that ADHD piece is just really, really interfering with the small group sessions of math and reading intervention, then that's maybe when the math or reading specialist would talk to that first grade teacher and get the special education team involved to kind of get another set of eyes, collect some more data. And then that would be when the school team would make a decision if they wanted to move forward with a special education evaluation.
So in order for a kid to get on the special education program, let's say, they kind of need to be referred. Right. Mm-hmm. So like a classroom teacher, can a parent request?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was going to say there's kind of two ways that you can do it. Mm-hmm. The first way we just kind of went through when we talked about like that first grade teacher had some concerns and they kind of went through the process with their school. So kind of a school referral, mm-hmm. but there is also parent referral. And a lot of times we get parent referrals through, kind of outside diagnoses. So mm-hmm. when, you know, students are going and they're getting diagnosed with ADHD or they're at their pediatrician's office and parents are talking to them and they're kind of having concerns, sometimes that conversation of special education comes up and parents, all that they have to do is email their student's teacher or call their office and ask to talk to the principal and just request an evaluation for their student. And the school team will kind of review data and information on that student and get back with them with a response if they feel comfortable moving forward with an evaluation, or maybe not yet. We want to try a few things first.
Sure. And I'll include kind of a letter that parents can send to their schools in our show notes so that they know what to be asking for. Because I think this process can be so confusing. There's so many components and there's a lot of anxiety for parents around this process too. So that kind of leads me to the next question, which is like, why would a parent not want their kid involved in special education? The reason why I ask this question is I oftentimes in my practice will have parents say things to me like, I don't want my student to be singled out or labeled. And they're wondering if they should decline services because I know that that's a right that they have. But I think there's a lot of fear around this special education process and what it really means. So tell me what your thoughts are. Why would a parent not want their kid involved in special education?
Sure. I think that, you know, this is a really difficult question. And I think it just really varies parent to parent and family to family and student to student. And I think one of the most important things that I want to tell parents about the special education process is that they are a member of the team. Parents are a member of the evaluation team and they should be honest and share their honest thoughts and their honest concerns and their feedback with the team about these what they're feeling, what they're thinking, you know, do the benefits outweigh the cons? Like there's always pros and cons to every decision you're going to make for your child. I think something that's really important to highlight as a special education teacher is I have seen special education become such a safe place for kids and such mm-hmm. a comfort for kids, especially as they get older into, you know, those later elementary years, middle school and high school, where they're around other kids who have the same struggles as them. And they're around teaching that really works for them. And they don't always have to feel stuck with every single thing that's happening in their classroom. A lot of times, too, special education is small group instruction or can even be one-on-one instruction. And so that is so much so powerful for a child with a learning disability or with ADHD or with autism, where they can really get that individualized support. So I think for parents that are, you know, on the fence about that, I think keeping in mind some of those positives about special education. I also want to say that special education has changed a lot in the last like 10 or 15 years. There's a variety of different program models for special education. I would say a lot of, you know, parents would think back to their schooling experience, and the kids in special education kind of stayed in one room and weren't ever seen the whole day, right? And so I think that's probably where most parents go when they hear this about their kid, is like, I don't want my kid to be in that situation that I experienced when I was in school. And that is definitely not what special education is anymore. It is very integrated, is very inclusive model. There's different programs to meet students' needs based on their skill levels or their severity of their disability. So I think having those concerns are great, and I love that. But I also think just being honest and telling the school, you know, what your concerns are would help them with that decision.
Well, and I also think the goal of special ed is to give your kid the tools. Like, the goal is not to make it last forever, right? So yeah. I think we ultimately want kids to receive the services that they need and then to remove that when it's appropriate, right? So this isn't a forever thing. For some kids, it is, right? Like, it is lifelong because they need it, right? But we're continually assessing this, and each kid that is in special ed is put on a thing called an IEP, an individual education plan, and they review those yearly. And the cool part I talked to my parents and my clinic about is that you can request a review of your IEP at any time. If you had a meeting and then you are like, hey, we didn't quite meet the thing, or this new support is not working, you can request a meeting tomorrow, even though you had one today. There is not a rule. So you could have one every day. I mean, let's hope we don't need that, because that would be overwhelming for everybody. But there is not a time. And I think oftentimes parents will be like, oh, we have a review, you know, 4 months from now, let's wait. And I'm like, no, let's not wait, right? If we need a service now, let's advocate for that right now and get that need met, because we don't want our kids struggling, right? And so the goal of special ed is just to bring kids up to the level of what we would want them to function at, or modifying the educational expectations so that kids can succeed. Because, I mean, when we think about not succeeding in school, I mean, we spend so much time there. 7 hours, right, of our day is at school. And if your whole day is filled with feeling like, I am so bad at school. School is awful. I hate this. I don't want to be here. And there is a support that can be put in place to have your student feeling positive and confident about themselves. I really am an advocate for special education, because I think that it gives that confidence that tells students that they are not dumb. They are capable and they can learn, and that we just need to make modifications. Do you find that kids oftentimes have success and are able to get off of special education services or be able to discontinue services?
Yeah. You know, that's actually one of the next things I wanted to talk to you about, is that once students are initially found eligible, it is federally mandated that they get reevaluated every 3 years. And so what that reevaluation process looks like is the school team, they have to determine if that kid still meets special education disability criteria. And I'll say, in my experience, I've had a lot of kids by the age of, you know, second, third, fourth grade, that it's amazing. Like, you're like, you don't need this special education anymore, because our early intervention and all of the things we were able to put in place in these younger grades has helped you. And now you have the skills and the confidence to go into your class and do it on your own.
Yeah.
So I think it's really powerful to be able to see that.
Yeah, that's great. And something you just mentioned that I think is so important is early intervention, right? I think that piece is key, because our brain is also rapidly developing at young ages. And so if we notice something about our student, whether we're parents or our teachers mentioned to us, and they say, hey, I think there's something going on here, I'd like to look into it, I would really, really advocate for parents to take a look at that, to to hear what the teacher is saying and to see what the school thinks about that part, because, or if you're feeling like, hey, that, you know, I have several kids or my friend's kids, they're progressing differently and I'm noticing a difference in my child than maybe other students. And I want to get that looked at. That seems very reasonable to ask for, because if we intervene early, we oftentimes skip this place of kids not liking school because yep. we're giving them the support. And the lifelong learning is important for all of us. Even if it's not in an educational setting, we all have to learn on a daily basis so that we're growing as humans.
Yes.
So I think that's a great, great point, Kayla. So why do you think that, I mean, we kind of talked about this, but is there anything else that you want to say about why special education is so important and maybe like what even drew you to this
area? Yeah, sure. I think what drew me to special education was I grew up with a mom who was a teacher, and she taught a lot of different things. She taught regular education. She taught special education and reading intervention. And she always worked at my school where I went. And so at the end of the day, I always kind of got to go to her room. And I think just her level of compassion for all types of students really led me to special education. And just seeing that there's always a way that you can make something better for somebody in special education. And I think that's what keeps me going today, is that I always want, you know, what's something new that we can try? Is there a different way that we can help somebody achieve that goal faster or be more independent? All of those things. So for me, that's why I chose special education. And I really haven't looked back. It's been my go-to. I love it, love it, love it. One of my favorite parts of special education is that it just allows students equal access as their peers. So because they have a disability, they are kind of at a disadvantage in that regular classroom, that regular first grade classroom, where the maybe the style that of teaching that the first grade teacher is using isn't what's best fit for that student with their disability. And so being able to have the special education teacher or the special education team on that kid's side is really powerful to see. I also think just that special education delivers services to students in that free and appropriate environment. And so what that means is it allows them the ability to succeed and progress at their individualized rate. So in special education, while yes, it's great to compare them to how are they doing to the rest of the first graders, I would say in special education, we really try to focus on like, how is Johnny doing compared to Johnny? Like, what is Johnny's progress looking like from a month ago? Really working on that individualized rate of learning and then providing him with the environment that he needs in order to succeed. So that's called our least restrictive environment. And what that means is the environment which allows students access to their needs. So do they need that small group instruction? Do they need one-on-one time with a special education teacher? Do they need breaks outside of the classroom because I'm overstimulated and I'm having a lot of feelings right now? Mm-hmm. Or do I just need accommodations on my testing? Any of those types of supports.
Yeah. So there's a lot of variety that is offered within special education.
Yeah.
So as we're wrapping up today, this has all been so informative and important information to hear. Yeah. Even if you're a parent that doesn't have a kid who meets services, like you're going to know somebody who is going to have a kid that does need special education services. So I think it's important as a society that we understand what is offered within that setting. But what do you want people or parents to take away, caregivers to take away from this conversation? What do you want them to remember about what we talked today?
I think the most important thing is that parents need to remember that the school doesn't get to decide everything about their kid. Like, they are just as vital of a member of the team as the teachers at the school. And if you see something, say something, like advocate for your kid, but also have that ability to stay open to the suggestions and the ideas that the school has. I think sometimes parents go into special education and they think we're just going to do what the school says. And while that trusting is really great, there's also that parental instinct. And sometimes that can overweigh what the school is saying. And so I think just starting, you know, your child's special education journey off with open and honest communication is really the best thing that you can do for your kiddo.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Like, trust your gut. Like, parents know their kids best, right? And yeah. So they're going to be a huge advocate for their kids. Well, yeah. Thank you so very much, Kayla. This has been incredibly informative, and we're looking forward to having you back another time to talk more about special ed.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I think supporting our children requires a lot of advocating for our kids. We know our kids better than anyone. And so getting our kids the services that they need in life, whether it's special education or getting a need met at their pediatrician or getting them into a particular type of therapy, we have to advocate for our kids, and it can be exhausting, but don't give up, because the goal is to provide the services for our kids to help them live the best life. Each state has a different Department of Education, and they do have some different laws, but most of the special education laws are covered under the IDEA laws, or IDEA. And part of what they do in these departments of education in each state is to make sure the students are receiving the services that they need. And if you feel like your students needs more support or has been declined for services, you can reach out to the Department of Education in your state and see how to proceed with that process. But the first thing to do is to meet with the team at your school to request those services, to get an evaluation, or to ask for additional services. And a lot of times, most of the time, your needs are going to be met. But there might be some extenuating circumstances where you feel like your child's needs are not being met. And please don't be afraid to reach out and talk to the Department of Education to see if there's any ideas that they have. Every child deserves an education. And often when they are refusing school, feel negative about learning, or there's something going on that keeps them from wanting to go to school, there's something that's getting in the way. And sometimes special education services are the thing that they need to help them enjoy school more, to build their confidence, to identify if there is a learning difference. If they have ADHD and they're not enjoying the setting or the way that they're learning, special education could be the thing that may help them to enjoy school again, or to learn in a different way that helps them to meet their needs. I think it's important for us as parents to get curious about our kids and how they're doing with learning. And if we notice that they're falling behind or they don't have an enjoyment in that process of learning things at school, let's get curious and figure out what's getting in the way so that we can help to support them. I think an important part for us to remember that I said earlier is just don't give up. Right? Our kids are capable of so many amazing things. And if we believe they can't do it, then they probably won't. But if we believe they can, then we're giving them the best possible opportunity to meet their potential. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to our podcast today. We love having you here. If you have any ideas or suggestions or loving what we're giving you, please give us a rating and subscribe to our show. We have new episodes releasing every Tuesday, and we would love if you would follow us on Facebook and Instagram, or send us an email requesting topics or any other things that you have to accidentalexperts@gmail.com. Thank you so much for your time today. Get ready. Next week, we're going to be talking about dyslexia and exactly what it is and what does it mean and how do you identify it? How to figure out if your student may be somebody that has dyslexia. We're looking forward to that, and we'll see you next week. Thanks, guys. Some words from our legal team.
The information presented in this podcast is not intended or implied to be a substitute for appropriate professional advice, diagnosis, or treatment. All content, including text, graphics, images, and information contained on or available through this podcast, is for general information purposes only. This podcast makes no representations and assumes no responsibility for the accuracy or information on or available through this podcast, and such information is subject to change without notice. You are encouraged to confirm any information obtained through this program with other sources and review all information regarding any condition or treatment with the appropriate professionals.
What we're saying is, yes, I am a real therapist, but I'm not your therapist.